It's time to say good morning to Peter Allam. And Peter, today we're talking about the rentals, tenants and landlords. Peter, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning to all our listeners out there. Another hot day expected, I see, with temperatures well over 25 all over the Eastern Cape.
Yeah. You wouldn't really say it's, you wouldn't say it's winter.
Not at all. But the evenings are cold.
Yeah.
Amazing. You wake up in the morning, it's colder than I was in Kumkha yesterday. We got there. It was 13 degrees. By the end of the day, it was 30 degrees.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Indeed.
Yeah. Important subject at the moment is that, you know, the frustration that both tenants and landlords have causes tension and is a topic that's very, very important. Right at the outset, let me mention that you cannot take the law into your hands, either one of those two. And if we concentrate first on tenants, you know, the first thing you should do is pay your rental. If you don't have the funds to pay it, go and talk to your landlord. Make sure you make the landlord happy or satisfied. Or alternatively, you know, the situation arises where you may well have to give notice and move on because you've lost your job, you have no funding, and that type of thing. But it's not nice just to sit back, not pay your rental, continue to live in the person's home, you're not maintaining it, and that type of thing. From a landlord's point of view as well, you get the tenant who stops paying, you go see him, he doesn't answer you, you go 2-3 months without it, and these days landlords get the hell in, and what they do is that they start turning off the water, turning off the lights, turning off the communications, you know, locking up the place, changing locks, changing the front door locks and gate locks and things like that. All of that is illegal from both sides. Not to pay rental is wrongful and unlawful and illegal. And to close people out is also found to be wrongful, unlawful, and illegal. So we start with basically, let's say, what are the tenant's rights? So if you're a tenant and you have a problem all of a sudden with your landlord, he decides he doesn't like you and wants you out, but you're up to date and don't want to move, he can't come along and cut your electricity or your water or telecommunications, which you may have had in the house and that type of thing. It's a very Latin term, mandamunt van spoli is the term, to return. Okay. It's a spoliation order that returns you to the status that you were. So if we look at the Roman Dutch mandamunt van spoli, it's a distinction between ownership and possession, and the different rights exist to protect that. So, you know, ownership is a real right. The gentleman owns the house. He has a real right to the house. And, yes, he can bring an action to protect these rights. But likewise, the right to the property, the right to use the property, it doesn't have to, mandamunt applies to everything, not just to leases like we're saying now. But the right to it, which is attributed to the owner, are protected. And the right of access to water, the rights to electricity, to water, to telecommunications by a tenant are protected. So if somebody comes along and switches off your water or turns off your electricity or cuts it, you can go to court. An application is made. And on the merits of the case, it is almost 100% probable that the court will come to the rescue of the tenant if the tenant is up to date and in order. So the right that was violated will be looked at. The unlawfulness thereof will be taken into account, and the court certainly will give you an order to reinstate your water, to reinstate your electricity and things like that. You know, a spoliation order is a really harsh way of punishing your landlord, in my eyes, because, you know, you're not paying maybe your rent, you're not paying for your water, you're not paying for your electricity, and the poor landlord must continue to do that to cover you when you yourself are not, you know, a party to it and playing the role that you should be playing. But let's go one step further with it, is that this is why, and all our talks, I always say, an attorney has a role. Oh. If you going to rent your premises, make sure that you go and see an attorney. Make sure that you get a proper lease agreement in place, one that covers all these little incidents that can occur with regard to the rental of the premises. You know, when you can give notice, on what terms you can give notice, and things like that. You need to understand that so that you don't have hassles with your tenants. I mean, you know, some people have tenants that they are so happy with, they just cannot go out of their way to assist the tenant because they're so good. And that's what you want to find. That's what you need. You need the perfect tenants. And yes, there are a lot of them around. A lot of people will say, you only hear about the bad people. No, people don't talk about the good tenants because they don't have to talk about them. They're the tenants that pay on time, make sure the house is neat and tidy, keep the garden clean, and that type of thing. So, you know, your relationship with your tenant is very, very important. That's what I always say. Don't just find a tenant and then ignore the place. It's your home. It's your asset. Go check and ensure that it's under control and being well kept. You know, that's basically where you are with the tenant side of it. From a landlord point of view, what happens? If your lease is a proper lease and in place, it will have terms and conditions for breach and also for the upkeep of the home, the water and lights and that type of thing. I always advise anybody who's renting property to make sure that you have a separate meter for the electricity. Put a prepaid meter in. It might cost you a little bit of money. But at the end of the day, it will save you a fortune. You know, if you rent your house and you've got the old water and lights account with your electricity on it, it can be abused by your tenant. That's the sad thing. And you don't have a right to switch him off. That's the worst part of it all. Even if he's in the rear, you don't have the right just to come along and switch him off.
Right.
So, you know, make sure that you do that. Garden services you need to take into account. Make sure that he's maintaining your garden. You know, a lot of people these days rent their property with a garden service, which is the easiest thing, or with the old gardener who's been with you for years that still continues to go there. But the need is still there for you to check on all of these different aspects. Don't just ignore it. And don't take the law into your own hands as a tenant, because you're going to get punished. An application by a tenant, you know, for a spoliation order, I'm yet to see one that's not granted, to be quite honest with you. You know, the attorney that brings the application is not stupid enough to bring an application where they have no chance of being successful.
Right.
So if I have a client that comes in that says, my landlord has done X, Y, Z, I will look at it and I will tell him, yes, you can, or no, you can't. So the application is brought ex parte. You don't even know that it's coming. And an interim order is granted. They don't grant an immediate order. So you do get an interim order and a return date where you will be able to go back to court and you know, challenge it. But the two requirements magistrates look at up front is one, peaceful, which means that it must be undisturbed possession and use of the, and of course the use of the property must be lawful that you have. So, If you are in peaceful, undisturbed possession and you have the use of the property and someone comes to unlawfully deprive you of that possession, you're going to get an interim order. But they will hear the other side. So it's not a one-sided thing. That's the nice thing about it. There will be an affidavit that sets out the facts. After the order is granted, the landlord can immediately be ordered to restore possession, subject to the return date. The sheriff normally serves that document on them. And then you get the return date where you can oppose it, and the spoliation order will then be made final. It's a nice, quick process as well, not something like a court case that goes on and on. You bring the application today. Your return date is normally within 14 to 21 days. The matter is then heard and finalized. So it's a quick, easy remedy, a spoliation order. And, you know, a landlord needs to be careful in silly little things like cutting electricity or stopping the water and things like that. You know, not just because the tenant refuses to pay rental or has failed to pay rental that you have a right to take the law into your own hand. So, you know, be careful, be cautious as a as a landlord, but also at the same time, like I said, as a tenant, you know, do the proper thing. If you're in trouble, go to your landlord, discuss it with your landlord. You know, a lot of landlords are understanding and will assist wherever they can. Perhaps a reduction in rent or suspension of rent until you find employment and things like that. So, yeah, that's basically where we are today.
So at the end of the day, you know, once again, I think which would be a common theme through a lot of our chats is communication. But obviously there's a point where the tenant is so deep in trouble, you know, maybe they've lost their job. At some point, you know, you need to draw a line. But I'm sure that with communication, that the landlord would say, okay, till the end of this month, and then we amicably part ways. You know, then we at least, you know, there's a bit of leeway, but it's not going to become a thing that's going to continue and continue, and the tenant's going to dig themselves deeper and deeper into a hole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what you've got to take into account, Wayne. You hit a nail on the head perfectly. Is, you know, communication, such an important thing in everything we do in life today. You know, you've got to make sure that you're up to date. Don't hide. People respect you. You know, that's the way it is. If you've got respect for each other and you sort things out, you'll never have a problem.
I see. Yeah. And as you mentioned as well, is just to make sure that you've got a good lease in place, because that would actually basically sort out all the terms and conditions right in the beginning.
Absolutely. You know, it might cost you a little bit with the attorney to put a proper lease in place. I continuously see these people that download off the off of WhatsApp or off of Google a lease. I mean, I've seen people that have come in here with American leases, with British leases and all the rest of it, because they know no better. Mm. I've seen people taken leases and scratched out and put their own wording into it, you know, which makes it not in terms of the legal clauses that are necessary. You know what? Not because I'm the attorney, but it's worth your while to spend that little bit of money, get an attorney to do the lease for you, check the lease for you. Make sure, you know, a lot of people these days as well, a common thing these days is that in terms of the Housing Act, it's compulsory for you to invest that deposit in the name of the tenant, and he earns the interest. How often don't I have people that come in and say, oh, he gave me a deposit, but we didn't have an agreement that it must be invested. Yeah. You don't need an agreement. The law is such that it's compulsory. You know, you cannot anymore take it. A lot of people take the deposit, spend it, and then 10 years later, when the lease expires, give back the 5,000 rand deposit that they had.
Yeah.
No more. Run it out. You know, these are little simple things that as a public person, you don't know, don't understand.
Yeah.
That the law is stupid. The housing department can intervene in a lease as well, and they're very good at that. You know, they bring applications and they're heard within a week or two. So be careful. It's not a simple little thing. I'm the owner of the house. You do what I say.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. You know, it might have been like that in the old days. You know, you hear about the old days where people weren't paying their rental, and Joseph just moved in there with his family, put all the furniture on the pavement and locked the door and changed the gate locks and all the rest of it. You're not going to get away with that.
Yeah.
We don't live in that era anymore. It's now strictly controlled. And properly controlled.
Properly controlled. Yeah. And as you say, you know, get the advice of an attorney. And speaking of that, if somebody does want to get the advice of an attorney, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Yes, they can like us on Facebook. Just add onto our surname, S-A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, Alums. And you'll find all our details there, how to contact us. Go onto our website and you'll find us there as well. And then we're situated at 6 Sansom Road, which is a little side street where Pep Stores is, in Vincent, across the way from the Vincent Parking Centre. Telephone 043-7211-018.
Great. And Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great day. And of course, this chat will be on our website later today as well.
Yes, thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter. Cheerio then. It's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle chat, all about tenants, rentals, and the rights of both the landlord and the tenant.